Tonight, I want to share a message, taking the cross, dying to the emotional man. God has been speaking to me. He spoke to me about this 2 weeks ago when I was in Georgetown, or three. And he said, I'm tired of my people being under the same bondage that the world is under. And he wants to bring us into freedom and not be under the bondage, the emotional bondage that the world is under. Running to the doctors, running to the psychiatrist, running to the drugstore, desperately trying to bring some kind of peace into our hearts. But it'll not bring peace. That will not bring peace. It covers up the problems. Every drug that ever was ever used covers up the problem. And if you want a solution to the problem, you go to Dr. Jesus. Amen. I mean that. If you want a solution to your problem, you go to Dr. Jesus, because he can set you free. And America is probably the worst country in the world, because we have so much wealth. We can buy this, buy that, to try to find peace. Go with me to Luke 12, verse 49. I begin with two scriptures that have to do with taking the cross. I've already had a message or two on the cross. You're going to get about three or four more. Because I know that God is speaking to me that the message of the cross is the most important message if we will die to every aspect of the flesh, soulish life. God will move in unprecedented ways to set us free so we can set the captives free. We can't set the captives free till we are set free. And he wants us to quit playing around with cycling back constantly into these same bondages and never really getting into the freedom that Christ has supplied for us. Now, this is what he says. First, I read Luke 12, verse 49. This is Jesus' words. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. I have come to cast fire on the earth. He hasn't come to make us comfortable. He wants to set us on fire. He wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Of course, the fire of God ultimately will be a fire that brings judgment also. For our God in Hebrews 12 ends, our God is a consuming fire. I had a message on the three fires here just a few weeks ago. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. He wants you to go undergo water baptism where you understand that you die out to the world, but he wants you to go undergo Holy Spirit baptism so that you can be empowered, so that you can take the cross and the anointing of God can come upon you so that you can get ready for battle. Because one of the things that the Lord put into my heart and mind that he's never put in the same way, and I'll be covering this more as I go along, is that as we learn to take the cross, it doesn't mean passivity. It means activity in the Holy Spirit. And we've got to get things out of the way and die to them that hinder us from moving in the Spirit of God. And if we are to take the cross, we must learn how to do warfare. Let me say it again. I'll cover this several times. If we're going to take the cross, we must learn to do warfare. We let the enemy come in on us when we must God tells us to resist, and we don't obey. We don't resist. We passively sit back and receive. That's not the cross. The cross is dying to the things of the world that get in the way of the movement of God in our lives. So taking the cross really is not negative, it's positive. And the devil tries to make it, oh, we've got to take the cross, poor me. The devil tries to make it as if it's all negative. It's positive. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Warfare. Warfare. Not peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Now, once you do learn to take the cross, once you do learn to do warfare, you will come into a oneness with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, a oneness with yourself and a oneness with others. And through the warfare of the Spirit, you can enter into peace. But, you see, he's speaking here of the outward thing we want. We want peace of mind. Oh, God, give me peace of mind. Oh, God, give us peace. Oh, God, end this war. No. The way we end war, the way you end war in the world is you battle until you win. And spiritually, that's the way we bring peace. We battle and resist until we win over Satan. That's, in other words, there is an ultimate peace. There is an ultimate peace. But when you tell the world that, well, just cool, be cool. Just be calm. That's not the way, because the devil can come against your peace and your calm in human terms and defeat you every time and bring you into turmoil. And the more you seek the world's kind of peace, the more in turmoil you were in. You got to seek peace only the way God shows us, and that's by taking the cross and then warring against the enemy and defeating him. From now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In other words, it comes into the family. The big-time warfare of the enemy on the family. And we're not going to solve our family problems except as we begin to take the cross and begin to war against what the enemy is doing to divide us. You see, in the world, there's going to be this division. He's warning us, in the world's way, as long as this world is, and as long as the things are going the way they're going, and they're not going to be totally solved until Jesus comes back, you're going to have division. You're going to have to learn to deal with it. You're going to have to learn to take the cross. You're going to have to learn to war against it, to let God come and bring the unity and the harmony. It's not that there won't be unity and harmony, but only in His way. Now, Luke 14, verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25. Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I know that you know, but let me tell you, if you don't, that this is a comparative, and by comparison with the way he loves you, and he loves your father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. And he loves you and your life. Your love for the Father must be so strong, receiving it and giving it to him and letting it flow out to others, that it makes it appear that our own human love is like hate. By comparison. But again, there's division. There's going to be division. There's going to be emotional turmoil. It's just a part of the world. People are going to get angry. People are going to misunderstand, even inside the family. And without God's way here, you're not going to have peace. See, if you can have peace, if you can get God's way of doing spiritual warfare, of taking the cross with your brother, sister, wife, your spouse, mother, father, if you can learn how to take the cross there and do spiritual warfare there, you can have peace there. So this ought to begin at home. Anything that God does needs to begin at home. I've often said, and I say many times to people, you know, God showed me this years ago. If you can walk in the Spirit at home, you can walk in the Spirit anywhere. It's easy to put on a good face for people outside the home, but when you're in the home, you kind of let your hair down, so to speak. You kind of, who you are, you let it all hang out. And sometimes what hangs out is not very pretty. But, you know, you're a hypocrite if you can love people outside, or at least appear to, and can't love the people who are the closest to you. And the devil will try to bring division. And there will be division. There will be division. There will be turmoil. There will be things that, and emotional anger and bitterness and resentment and things will rise up. And you've got to learn how to deal with them. In your family as well as outside the family, is what Jesus is saying. But it says, whoever does not carry his own cross, learn to take the cross and come after me. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. I mean, these are very strong words. Unless you learn to take the cross. Tonight we're dealing with one aspect. Take the cross in the emotional man or the emotional woman. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost, and if he has enough to complete it? And then he tells this parable, which we're not going into. Now, what is it? So, I've taught on this before, but God spoke to me, I think it was 3 weeks ago, when I gave this message. And when I was there, the Lord said, I want you to expand on this, because there are two parts to this. And so there is the negative part and there is the positive part. If we're going to take the cross to our emotional man or emotional woman, we're going to have to take the cross in regard to the negative emotions. We're also going to have to take the cross in regard to our positive emotions. Because God does not want us to be controlled by our feelings. We are children when we let feelings, emotions, control our actions and the way we act towards other people. Because God wants us to receive freedom. Now, don't misunderstand me. This taking the cross in our emotional man or woman does not mean that God will take out your ability to emote. He won't take out you will always have the ability to emote. He's not going to eliminate emotions. That would be a dead, dry world, wouldn't it? If he eliminated emotions. That's a part of who we are. Our soul is our spirit, our will, our mind, and our emotions. Our will, our mind, and our emotions. Next time we'll probably be talking about the mind and what it means to take the cross in regard to our mind. But what about our emotional man, our emotional woman? And again, remember, taking the cross in this aspect, to take the cross, you must do spiritual warfare. So it's activity, it's not passivity. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. I've taught on this many times, but the Lord showed me some steps this afternoon. And sometimes it helps for us to understand something. I want to read the whole passage first. And then I'll go back through the passage. Because God showed me many years ago that for emotional deliverance and for emotional bondage, this passage was a key passage. So let me read it, and then we will go back after I read the three verses. This is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Put, for though we walk in the flesh, by the way, the flesh there means not just the physical flesh, but the soulish part of us, and that includes our emotions. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, you die to the flesh, but you war in the spirit. You can't war in the flesh. You die to the flesh. You war in the spirit. Don't forget. You die to the flesh, you war in the spirit. For the weapons of our warfare, we'll talk about those in a minute, are not of the flesh. They're all spiritual weapons. So the spiritual warfare we do is in the spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, in our spirit man, a spirit woman. It's controlled there. That's why it's so important to separate the realm of the spirit, our spirit. We have a spirit, and we have a soul. You can't war according to your soul, your soulish man. You got to die to that. And when you try to war in your soulish man, you're going to be defeated automatically because Satan is coming against you in the spirit, because he's a spirit, and the demons are spirits. And the spirit power is always over any emotional, anything in the realm of the will, the mind, and the emotions. And by the way, the spirits have ideas too. We'll talk about that next time. The spirits have ideas too. They'll put ideas in your mind. You think you came up with all those ideas? No. No. And the enemy puts a lot of ideas into our mind in warfare. But the weapons now, these are spiritual weapons now. Remember, you war in the spirit. They're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now in a moment we'll talk about what that means. For the destruction. For the pulling down. Destruction doesn't mean to totally annihilate, but to bring down so that they are no longer operative and powerful over you. We are destroying speculations or imaginations or thoughts. See, we have great warfare in the realm of our thought life and our speculations and our imaginations. And God wants us to deal with that. And every high thing, I'll explain that when we get to it. I'm going to take these steps of warfare in steps. I've dealt with this before, but the Lord showed me how to do this in steps that you need to take. High things raised up against the knowledge of God. These high things are always raised up against the knowledge of God. Because the knowledge of God and receiving it and acting on it will set you free. And your spirit man has to receive these things from the Holy Spirit. It's all right to use your mind if your mind is just articulating what the Holy Spirit is saying to your spirit. The moment you get your mind above your spirit man or the Holy Spirit, you're in trouble. And you're going to be defeated. And psychology and psychiatry put the mind and don't even deal with the realm of that man has a spirit. And so psychology and psychiatry cannot give you the answer. You cannot war in the spirit through psychology because that comes from the word psuche. And that's the very thing you're to die to. That's the very thing you're to take the cross to. See, you don't need to have your psyche build up. You need to die to it. And we've got it all wrong. I mean, even Christian psychiatrists and psychology, most Christian psychology does not deal with the cross. And if you don't deal with the cross, you do not have the victory. You can't have the victory without taking the cross and dying to these things. And taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Now, let's go with the steps. Here's what God told me. In fact, I had this made out, and then the Lord this afternoon said, make it out again, because I'm going to give you some steps. So I said, all right, Lord, yes, sir. So this is what the Lord told me, okay? The first step, you've got to learn to use your spiritual weapons against what? Against these fortresses. What are fortresses? What are fortresses? They are power bases of the enemy over our minds. Power bases of the enemy over our minds. We could call them bondages. Now, negative emotions. This part is about how to deal with negative emotions, okay? We'll come to positive emotions at the end of the message. But the negative emotions. What are some, you know, but what are some of those negative emotions that will dominate you and dominate most people and unfortunately dominate most Christians? At least some of these dominate most Christians. And God is tired of this because He has provided through Christ. He died on the cross. He didn't just die to take your sins. He died to take this crap, off of you. You get freedom. Rejection. Fears. I mean, all kinds of fears. People live in fear. I can't believe how Christians live in this kind of fear. Afraid on the highway. Afraid in the dark. Afraid of heights. Afraid of this. Afraid of that. Fear, fear. Fear of performance. Fear of men. Fear of death. Fear of death, by the way, is the most fundamental and negative emotion. God told me that years ago. The most fundamental negative emotion is fear of death. Hebrews 2 says you are all our lifetime subject to bondage to fear, even the fear of death, but Jesus has set you free. Hallelujah. Will you enter into it? Will you receive it? Anger, bitterness, resentment, rage, doubt, unbelief, condemnation, guilt. Will you die to these things? Will you die to these things? Yes, you can, if you will. You can, if you will. And God wants you to use weapons. Now, you got a war in the spirit. Remember we said you got a war in the spirit. The flesh, because we're in the flesh, we can't get away from war. And because we're in the flesh, we can't get away from all bondage. Until we die to that flesh. And then do spiritual warfare, and it's only in the spirit. Now, if it's only in the spirit, then we've got to use spiritual weapons. Luke 10. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood is a very, very powerful weapon. Use it all the time. Plead the blood constantly. Whenever I pray against the enemy, if I'm praying against some bondage that's in my life, some fear, let's say, that's in my life, I always first plead the blood of Jesus. I cover my spirit, soul, and body with the blood. Or if I'm praying for a bondage in fear or something negative in the generations, the same thing in the generations. What I'm saying here is the same thing in the generations because a lot of bondages come through your generations. And so you need to cover your spirit, soul, and body with the blood of Jesus, because I'll tell you, Satan can't get through the blood, can't get around the blood, can't get over the blood. I mean the blood. The blood of Jesus is powerful. The life of God. Jesus laid down His blood, and He defeated death, and He defeated Satan, and Satan knows it. He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. You need to get the word of God in your heart. Remember we taught about this. I'm not going into this. I'll just say this much again. You know, the word of God is near you, even in your mouth. Get it in your mouth. Then speak it until it's in your heart, until you know that you know that you know that you know what God has said. And when you know what God has said, you plead the blood and you speak the word. One little word will fell him, Luther said in the hymn. One little word will fell him. Will fell Satan. Because the Word is Jesus. One with Jesus. I mean, we are armed. Man, you need to take the armor of God every morning. I take the armor of God every morning. The sword of the Word, that's the offensive part of the armor. Hallelujah! They overcame him with the blood of the Lamb, word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's what we're talking about. You've got to take the cross to all of these things. Die to these things. Die to fear. Die to condemnation. Die to rejection. Die to guilt. Die to these things. By the way, these things only come out of the flesh, and they only come out of the lies of people and the lies of Satan. If you'd believe the truth of God, you could get set free. There's not a bondage that we're talking about, and there's not an emotional bondage that it doesn't come out of straight out of the pit of hell. And then some mother or father or brother or sister or friend, and someone repeats it, and then you believe it. Oh, yes, I've been rejected. I'm rejected. I'm rejected. And so a spirit of rejection and a bondage to rejection controls you. But Jesus, has Jesus rejected you? Sure. I'm not saying that people don't get into bondage. All kinds of people are in bondage to rejection. But Jesus wants to set you free. By the way, the other main weapons, those are three. The other main weapons are praise. God wants you to praise Him. I mean, praise is just such a tremendous, tremendous weapon. I mean, Satan can't stand praise of God. He can't stand it. I've been in the midst of demonized people. I mean, where demons were in them, controlling them, and you start praising God, and the person will start. I've seen demonized people just roll and writhe because you were praising God. Then you sing, and they can't stand praise of God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh is salvation. It's not a magic abracadabra name. It stands when you pray in the name of Jesus. So I plead the blood and pray in the name of Jesus, quoting the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, is as Jesus is praying. If you understand what you're doing when you're praying in the name of Jesus, it's as if Jesus is praying. He's the one that has authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can evil injure you. Then you are part of, he's your head and you're part of the body, and the feet trample on the head of Satan. Man, I come up against the enemy all the time. I came up against the enemy last week, tried to lay flu on me two different times. And my throat was bothered for a while, but I just came up against, just trampled on his head. No, Satan, I will not receive this. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Binding and loosing. Now I'm coming to binding and loosing a little bit more. But whatever you bind on the earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth is already loosed in heaven. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Satan's already fallen from that place in Revelation 12, and he's fallen down on the earth. He sees you as seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Will you let? Will you let the enemy who's down here and you're seated up here take authority over you? You have authority over him. We're going to judge the angels. We're going to judge the angels. And so God wants you to begin to take authority and use these weapons. That's where you got to start. You got to use these spiritual weapons. Now, secondly, you got to get prepared for battle. I mean, does an army go into battle without preparing for battle? An army does not go into battle without preparing for battle. Now, I quote this all the time, so let me quote it. It's 1 Peter 5, 2, 5 to 10. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Do you hear that? You get worried, you've got cares. Oh. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you more than you care for yourself. And you let Satan make you believe that God's abandoned you. The Word says He cares for you. And He does. But you got to start by humbling yourself. You got to start by learning subjection, laying your life down. You're not prepared for battle. If you think you're some great, big, strong, spiritual, you are nothing. And you got to come to the end of yourself and humble yourself and be a servant as Jesus was a servant, letting the love of Christ flow through you to lay your life down in love. You are not prepared. Moses was the greatest of the prophets, but the Bible says he was the most humble man on the earth. And with this humble man, God spoke face to face. We can do nothing, but in Him we can conquer all. And so we are prepared only when we are humbled. The greatest, when you look at 1 Corinthians, the greatest attribute of an apostle, Paul says, is humility. And humility more than anything else means, I know how needy I am. I know how weak I am. But I know how strong He is. I am weak. I need God. I need God. Just in Sunday school, when I was in the Methodist Church in Claypool, Indiana, we'd sing all the time, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Didn't mean anything to me then. But now I realize that the hymn writer understood something. We need Jesus every hour. We need Him. We need Him. And you need Him. You need each other. I need you. You need me. We need to learn to lay our lives down for one another. Then what's the second part of that in 1 Peter? This is the second part. So you humble yourself. The second part is be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here it is. Resist him firm in your faith. Don't retreat. Resist this firm in your faith. Come against it in Jesus' name. Don't accept it. Don't accept bondage in your life. Resist it firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. After you've suffered a little while, I guarantee you, whatever Satan does is a little while. The God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, shall Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you on the Word of God, on Christ Himself, on the Word Himself. Satan cannot defeat you and whatever is coming against you. So you've got to learn. Use the weapons. Prepare for battle. Humble yourselves. Subject yourselves. Then resist. Resist. Now, three other words is the next step. The next step. Repent. Repent. This really is a weapon. Turn from any sin in your life. Turn from it. Here you use your will. Here you use your will. Repenting is you're not just sorry for, but you're turning from it. You are not going to continue to fear. You are not going to continue to live under condemnation or guilt. You are repenting and repenting for living under it. You're turning from it. And you are forgiving. That's next. You are forgiving. You ask God's forgiveness for allowing this, but then you need to forgive people. Because if you are under some of these negative emotions, then people have, and people will always hurt you. People will always injure you. And it's particularly what they speak about you. And that's where people get the idea they're rejected, because people speak things that are rejecting. And people will reject you. Jesus won't, never will. But if you live under what you hear from people, even sometimes your mother and your father or someone in your family, you have got to forgive, forgive, forgive. And then you have got to rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. When men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, rejoice and leap for joy, for so persecuted they the fathers who were before you, the prophets who were before you. I mean, you don't rejoice. See, a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews says that we should continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise is where we're praising God when things are not going well. Because He's a covenant-keeping God. And He's set you free. And you need to rejoice. You need to repent. You need to forgive. You need to rejoice. Now, the power of binding and loosing is probably the most important power in getting freedom in the emotional life. In getting freedom in the emotional life. Because let's say you're in depression. Now, normally if someone's in depression, and I know what medical people say, but I know what the Lord has spoken to my heart, and so I'll just tell you what the Lord has spoken to my heart. When you have a chemical imbalance, it wasn't the chemical imbalance that brought the depression, it was the depression that brought the chemical imbalance. Because there's a little gland back here, hypothalamus. And it's amazing, because the moment you are sad, it begins to secrete and give messages to your body. Changes your blood pressure. The moment you're in fear, it sends chemical messages. And see, if we would live, God showed me this years ago, if we would live in the five fruit of the Spirit continually, after we're baptized in the Spirit, or nine, I mean, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. This little gland back here wouldn't be sending those messages to get you in chemical imbalance. And chemical imbalance helps ruin your immune system, so that your immune system no longer is successful in fighting, and then you get sick physically. See, God wants you to learn how to do warfare here, because He will set you free. Now, when people are in depression, I've prayed with many people in depression, and they have to receive this, and then they have to learn how to do spiritual warfare after that. And that's where people don't learn that it isn't just one time when you pray that you bind the spirit of depression. We loose the spirit of depression off you in Jesus' holy name. And they say, hallelujah, thank you. But you have got to learn to walk daily, releasing, and how to release positively love and joy and peace and patience by faith. It's His love. It's His joy. It's His peace. In a minute, well, I'll close my message with dying to the positive emotion. So you have to die to all of these negative things, bind them, loose them. Now, where do the high things come in? We also have to bind and loose. See, whatever we bind on the earth, as we said before, is already bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on the earth is already loosed in heaven. So we bind the evil. We bind Satan and the evil. We bind Satan. I bind you, Satan. I bind the spirit of depression. Now, there may be anger underneath that. There may be bitterness underneath that. There may be many things. There will be interrelationships. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, then often you will need prayer from two or three. And then you will get some idea of what you need to come against, so that you can learn how to do that until you are free. And you know that you are free. Not because someone prayed over you certain words, but because you have received it. And after you've received it, then you walk in it. Because you've got to walk in these things. And you've got to walk in divine healing. See, most of the time, I've seen more unbelievers healed instantaneously than believers. And I think that most of the time, instantaneous healing, or often at least, it doesn't come to believers. Because God is trying to do something in believers' hearts besides healing their bodies. But with an unbeliever, a miracle of healing will show them Jesus is real. And then they can enter in to receive Jesus. I've had that happen in foreign countries, not much here, but when I'm leading people to Christ, I've had it happen a number of times in foreign countries where someone is healed or someone is set free from a demonic power, and then they can come into Christ. So this binding and loosing is mainly used, as we said before, to break these negative bondages, these negative emotions. But to bind and loose high things literally in the Greek are astrological ideas from cosmic powers. These are satanic powers. And do you ever get an idea and you'd say, where in the world did that come from? Sometimes a weird kind of thought. And there are cosmic high-level powers. Astrology is a source of these high-level powers whenever people get into astrology. And there are some Christians who think astrology is leadership of God. Of course, it isn't. Of course, the original signs of the zodiac were to point to Jesus and his victory over Satan. But astrology is not. It's what Satan has perverted. So, binding and loosing these high things, and what's the purpose of these cosmic level ideas? See, demons have thoughts. I didn't realize this for many years. Demons have thoughts. And cosmic level demons are the high level. There's a spirit of Antichrist, which is one of the high, I've talked about this in spiritual warfare when we talked about that last year. The spirit of Antichrist. Anti the word of God. Will come with a spirit of confusion. So there'll be an idea that you will hear, and often from educated people, and they don't know it's from a spirit of Antichrist, and then they spread that spirit of Antichrist. In fact, Bruno Bauer, who was one of the great higher critics of the Bible in Germany, who Marx read, said one time, I've got this quotation, I can't give you an exact quotation because I don't remember the exact quotation, but said, he was a professor of theology at one of the great German universities in the 19th century, and he said, sometimes I speak blasphemies and I know it's some demonic power that's speaking through me. This is an intellectual. So you got to, if you get thoughts that come in on you and you don't know where they're from, and they're just kind of, they're confusing thoughts, or they're something that's blaspheming Christ or blasphemy against the Word of God, you have got to bind that. Bind you, Satan. Bind the spirit of Antichrist in Jesus' name. I will not receive this in Jesus' name. I loose this off of my mind in Jesus' name. This is going to happen more. I don't know whether it's ever happened to you, but it's going to happen more to the people of God. Because the purpose of these spirit thoughts, these cosmic level, high level thoughts, are to intervene between God and man and to break the communication between God and man. See, because God wants you to be in contact with Him and hearing from Him. And He speaks. He speaks and he wants you to hear. Then finally, we have to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Now, taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ is the last step. Because after we have bound Satan, we've repented. We've forgiven. We've taken the weapons of our warfare. We've pled the blood. We praise God. We bound Satan in Jesus' name. Loosed this off of us in Jesus' name. Depression, anger, bitterness, condemnation, guilt, rejection, whatever the negative thought. Then we begin to learn how to take those thoughts captive in obedience to Christ so that they don't become bondage. Because he'll come back to tempt you in the area of the mind even after you get free. And you've got to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ that is not from the Word of God. And you've got to take captive every all speculations and imaginations. Our mind is speculating. Our mind is imagining. This thought, that thought, this thought about... I've had it happen when let's say our children or our grandchildren are out and they're traveling, and then the enemy gives us a thought. I wonder if that's God. But there's that. Just seems like something's going to happen. I believe maybe. And I start to get fearful. And then I realize I've got to come against that thought. That's from the enemy. God doesn't want me to worry. God doesn't want me to receive these negative thoughts. And you take thoughts captive in obedience to Christ by using the Word of God. Promises in the Word of God. This is how you take them. You don't try to stop thinking about them. Because the more you try to stop thinking about them, the more negative thoughts will come. You take something from the Word of God. The more you memorize the Word of God, the better. The more you memorize the promises of the Word of God, the better. And so you take them captive by taking the Word of God and then quoting it, reading it if you need to. Reading it if you need to. Now, people, before I get off this, and I want to get to the positive part here, but... tonight, we need to pray with some of you. I believe God wants us to pray with a lot of different people and not so long as we usually do over people. I believe that God wants to speak some things over people. And so, I believe that you need to take some steps tonight so that God will allow you to come into freedom in your emotional man from these negative things. Maybe they've been in the generations. If so, we can come against that. But from these negative things that hold you back and make you believe that what Satan is lying to you about is true about you. Because the only thing that is true about you is what the Word of God says. Philippians 4, Paul talks about a couple of things that I think are important in this. Well, let me turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's the weapon. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice is praising God for who He is. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, don't worry about everything, anything. Pray about everything. If you start to worry, start to pray. Start to pray. Start to praise God and start to pray. You'll stop worrying. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this. I mean, the greatest warfare that we face is sitting on our shoulders and this little head, this mind, which is the seat of our emotional man, the seat of some things that we'll talk about next week too, wisdom and knowledge, but it's the seat where our emotions come from. And Paul has, in the third chapter, another way, and this is, remember we said we take the cross first, and then we do spiritual warfare, we die to these things. What is a way that we can be aided in dying to these negative emotions? Verse 8, chapter 3. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, and I may be found in Christ, having a righteousness of my own, derived not from the law, but from that through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him. See, this is how we come into to being united in our minds, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, be conformed to His death, in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on in order to may lay hold for that which Christ laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the high prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, complete, have this attitude. If there is any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you. Get your mind off the past. Get your mind off what has happened to you. Get your mind off what someone has said. Don't even take account of what someone has said. Get your mind on pressing on to God. You want to be found in Him. You want to come opposite His sufferings. You want to come opposite His resurrection, even while you're in the flesh, so that you are so lost in Him, you can't possibly be lost in your own emotions, because you die to them. Now, finally, you have to die to positive emotion. Let me say something before I read Matthew 10. Human love, or any human emotion, any good human emotion, joy, peace, any good positive human emotion, will never cast out fear. Or any other negative emotion. Let me go over that again. No positive human, remember I'm saying human emotion, no positive human emotion will ever cast out any negative emotion. No positive human emotion, love is the highest, will ever cast out fear of death, which is the worst negative emotion, or any other negative emotion. Human emotions have to be, you have to die to them. Listen to Matthew 10:34. Now dying to the positive human emotions. And it won't take me as long on this one as the negative ones. In Matthew 10 and verse 34, Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. There it is again. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword of the word of the Lord. So you learn how to do spiritual warfare. The irony is, as I told you this at the beginning, you can't get peace until you do spiritual warfare and defeat the enemy. And when you defeated the enemy, you can get peace. But you've got to keep him defeated. And the sword has to be continually grasped and continually exercised. The word. That's the word. That's Jesus. For I came to set a man against his father, here it is again, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life, soul life, this is a part of the emotional life, shall lose it. And he that has lost his life, soul life, for my sake, shall find it. So, you've got to die. Now notice, this is human love. The highest human emotion is love. You've got to die to it. You've got to die to human love, to human joy, to the best of human emotions, as well as the negative. Because you can't get freedom in a positive sense without his love and his joy and his peace. All of those, it's only his love, it's only his heavenly agape love that you receive by faith. You don't have as a part of who you are. Now, this much is true. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will write on your heart, he will write his love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. Control of the self-life. The self-life, your emotional self-life, your anger, your bitterness, your resentment. He will, this is the positive part. You do all those weapons, you do all the binding and loosing, then, after you haven't, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because that's when he writes the full law of love in your heart, like he wrote at the first Pentecost, he wrote the law of love in the tablets of stone. He wants to write that law of love in your heart. But you'll spend the rest of your life learning how to die to and take authority and bind and loose and do all of those things that we've been talking about to come against the human emotions, the negative human emotions. But that the agape love, it's the heavenly love of God in your heart, written in your heart, that you had to learn how to release by faith in a positive sense for you to get the final victory. And you've got to release that continually day by day by day by day. This heavenly love is described in 1 John 4. This heavenly love is described in 1 John 4. And verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let me read the Greek here. The English words don't mean we love ice cream and we love people and we love to drive or we love God. I mean, English is not very good to express this. Beloved, let us agape or agapeo one another. It's the verb form. Agape is the noun form. And it's only God's love. It's totally above, and see, it's eternal. And it never stops. When God judges you, It's out of his love, because his love never stops. And he wants to judge you so you won't have to judge you eternally into hell. And he'll judge you because he loves you, because he doesn't want you to end up in hell. And so all of his judgment, his interim judgment, is to get you to repent. Because he loves you. All of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill or commit adultery, thou shalt not, is he loves you. And when you commit adultery, you are in danger of hellfire. When you steal, you're in danger of hellfire. When you murder, you're in danger of hellfire. And he wants you, of course, you can't fulfill those except as the Holy Spirit comes and enables you to fulfill them. But see, let us agapeo. For agape, that's the noun, that's God's love from heaven, is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, this kind of love, it's the eternal love. You have to be born of God or you can't love that way. But even people who are born of God and have that agape love in their hearts still try to love with human love. But human love, as I said before, as I said a minute ago, can never cast out negative emotion. Nothing human joy can't cast out negative emotion. I'm going to be joyful. I'm depressed. I'm just going to be joyful. No. But you receive His joy, and by faith you release His joy. You can do this. I've done this. I mean, when I had cancer, I was releasing joy by faith. I was releasing love. I was releasing all kinds of things by faith. I wasn't feeling like it. But I was relieved. You can't pay any attention. You got to die to your feelings. You got to die to the emotional man. The one who does not love, agapeo, this is God's love, actively, does not know God. For God is love. By this love of God, this is the heavenly love of God, was manifest to us in that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In other words, Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love. What love? When Jesus, the divine Holy Son of God who never sinned, was willing to take the cross and to have the nails driven into His hands and the nails driven into His feet and the spear punched into His side and the crown of thorns, breast on His brow, and 39 stripes all up and down His back, to take all of the disease and all of the bondage we bind them and loose, and all of that onto Him, and even be delivered into hell. And this is why he said, "Oh Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." It wasn't that He was fearful of physical death. He knew He would have to be separated from His Father for the only time ever and be delivered into hell. There is no love that can possibly be like God's love. It's why, Father, on the cross, while they crucified Him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this is love. Not that we love God. It doesn't start with us. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so agapeo us, we ought to agapeo one another. No one has beheld God at any time. And if we agapeo one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. We have to abide in Him to be set free. We can't just use the weapons, bind Satan loose, and we're done. We have to abide and remain day by day. He loves it. We abide and remain. He doesn't have many of His people who are willing to always be faithful, always abide. No matter how they feel, no matter what the circumstances are, they trust Him. They have that spirit of faith, which whatever the Word says, this is what is true. I die to everything else. I die to every feeling, every emotion, which comes against me to convince me that what God says is not true. It is true. By this we know that we abide, we remain in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. It's only when we receive the baptizing power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, walk in that love and joy and peace, walk in the gifts of the Spirit, hearing from God, not having this spirit of stupor and slumber where we can't see what God is saying and we can't hear what God is saying. We ask for His anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. We ask for an anointing of joy. Verse 14, we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in us and He in God. And we have come to know and have believed that love, that agape love, which God has for us. For God is agape love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Abide, remain, abide, remain, abide, remain. John 15:7, if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, we ask what we will and it shall be done. Abiding in Him is walking as Jesus walked in perfect love. Laying down continually our life. We are so narcissistic in this culture. We are so desiring to feel good and to have good things and outwardly blessings. And we don't want to go through. I mean, we've got a pill for everything, so we won't have to go through any kind of suffering or pain. And God wants us. He teaches us this way. By this, love is perfected, completed with us, that we may have confidence, absolute certainty of what God has said. Absence of fear, confidence, this means speaking boldly with absence of fear, knowing what God has said, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what we feel, no matter what the emotions are, they are not the real thing. Jesus is the real thing, and He has provided us with His emotions, His love and joy and peace, and all of His emotions. Begin to live in them. And have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. Did you hear that? Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. I mean, you talk about amazing statements. As He is in this world, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we. Peter says, you're supposed to follow Jesus' example in taking the cross. And the Greek word for example is where a student writes the exact Every letter made exactly the way the teacher writes it on the board, you write it on the board. So you follow exactly what Jesus has done. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. And you add every negative emotion underneath fear, and perfect love cast it out. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, we worship you, we love you, we glorify and magnify your holy name. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us now as we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.